floor clap offering. Acknowledge his presence, his goodness. He's a good God. The devil's a bad devil, but the Lord is a good God, and he loves us and has good things in store for us. I read about this cleric who lived in Ponte Vedra Beach, and he found himself wondering whether there were any golf courses in heaven. He even began to ask the question in his prayers. He wanted an answer from God. And one day, in answer to his prayers, he received a direct word from on high. "Yes," said the heavenly messenger, "there are many excellent golf courses in heaven. The greens are always in first-class condition. The weather is perfect every day. And you always get to play with the nicest people." "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you," said the cleric. "That is just marvelous news." "Yes, isn't it?" replied the messenger. "And we've got you down for a foursome here in heaven next Saturday." Praise the Lord. Laughter is good for the soul. The last words we say when we are praying the Lord's Prayer, "And yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen," are not found in the original text. They were added later. You see, in the Old Testament days, it was customary to finish a prayer with a doxology. A doxology is a short hymn of praise added to the end of canticles, psalms, or prayers. One of the greatest examples is the prayer offered by King David. The day the people brought gifts, they brought their money, their gold, willingly and joyfully for the construction of the temple, a worship service was held. And King David prayed these powerful words that we find in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. "Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to do and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name." In the same manner, the apostles added the doxology to the prayer Jesus had taught them. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." This addition was found in a first century document called the Teaching of the 12 Apostles. This doxology is the postscript. The word postscript is defined as an additional remark at the end of a letter, or section that provides further information introduced by P.S. In other words, after the early church would pray the Lord's Prayer, the apostles would say, P.S., for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. My friends, remember, God is the sole owner of everything. He deserves all of our honor. He deserves the glory. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere present. Now, what does this doxology says to us today? It is a powerful reminder that everything in our daily lives revolves around God. Nothing happens without His knowledge. As most of us know, it is a mistake to live life without direction, without purpose, without acknowledging the fact that all things belong to God, the creator of heaven and earth. Sooner or later, you and I will have to give God an account. Sooner or later, you and I are going to face Him. And He's going to ask us, what did you do with all that I blessed you with? How did you truly manage it? You know, there was a man in the Bible who lived like there was no God. We read about him in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 30. And I'm going to invite you to read about him later on this afternoon. Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 through 30. His name was Belshazzar. And in this chapter, he was addressed as King Belshazzar. But historians have found records indicating that the true king was his father, a man named Nabonidus. And he entrusted his kingdom to his son Belshazzar because he wanted to enjoy life in Arabia. So really, Belshazzar was second in command. One day, Belshazzar told his servants to prepare the most luxurious party the people of Babylon had ever experienced. It was to be attended by 1,000 of his nobles. There was an abundance of food and wine. The more wine he drank, the more foolish Belshazzar acted. All of a sudden, he ordered his servants to bring out the vessels of gold and silver, which had been taken out of the temple in Jerusalem, so they could drink out of them. This was an act of defiance and disrespect towards God. He dishonored God publicly. Belshazzar thought that the kingdom, the power, and the glory belonged only to him. When suddenly, fingers of a man's hand wrote a message on the banquet hall wall, and the king got sick. Immediately, he began to ask someone if there could be anybody that could interpret what was written on the wall. The queen remembered Daniel. You know, some people will make fun of you because you're a Christian, but at times when things get tough, they remember, oh, so-and-so is a Christian. Let's see what he or she has to say about this. And that's what happened to the queen. She said that Daniel was a man of excellent spirit, knowledge and insight, and able to solve difficult problems. Verse 12. And the message on the wall read, Mene Tekel Upharsin. God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. You have been found defiant and deficient. Friends, that same night, Belshazzar died, and his kingdom fell. It ceased to exist. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. The key word here, you could circle it if you write in your Bible. The key word is first. God must be first in our lives. Anything or any person occupying God's place in our lives, it's called an idol. It could be a family member. It could be finances, our career, our earthly possessions, etc., etc. And by the same token, God must also be first in our church. After all, it's his church. He created it. Many times we go around fooling ourselves, thinking that we got the power and the last word. We're only fooling ourselves because he's the one that has the last word. See, God has a plan for our lives. And so does everybody else. Therefore, we must be wise and intentional. We must choose to seek him first. If we live in the kingdom of God, we need to know the king. We need to know the king. We need to study his word. That's how we get to know him. We need to pray and spend time in his presence. The Apostle Paul reminds us, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. And Ephesians 3:20, we read, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church. You and I have delegated power from the one who is all powerful. We don't have to be like Belshazzar and usurp God's place and power. No. It's given to us. He makes his power available to us. And when we take a step of faith, he's right there with us to back us up. We need to ask ourselves, whose glory am I living for? Am I living for God's glory? Or am I living like Belshazzar? The glory of self. Belshazzar's life had a tragic end because of the choices he made. It's interesting to notice that Belshazzar's grandfather was King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a mean, self-absorbed man. He put on a decree that everyone had to worship him. They had to bow down before him. But there were three Hebrew children that had been taken into exile. They knew God, and they knew that the power and the glory and the kingdom belonged to God. And they basically said to the king, with all due respect, we will not bow down before you. We will only bend our knees before the God, the creator of heaven and earth. You probably know the story. Because of their refusal, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And I love, there's a verse in there that the Hebrew children said, the God we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we will still worship him. And in they went into the fiery furnace. You got to read that story again. Read it today. It's exciting. There they are in the fiery furnace. And I have a vivid imagination, so I could just see King Nebuchadnezzar looking in, and he saw a fourth person in there. He probably asked one of the servants, bring me my glasses, I'm not seeing well. And he probably started just checking his eyes again, rubbing his eyes again. And indeed, there was a fourth person. And finally, they brought them out. Yes, the Holy Spirit was in their midst, and they did not get burned. The Bible says that when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. They have been kept safe. And as a result, Nebuchadnezzar's heart was changed. He changed the decree too. And he himself began to praise God. In Daniel 4:34, he said, then I praised the Most High. I honor and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. Unfortunately, Belshazzar never learned from his grandfather. He never glorified God with his life. He remained self-serving, and he was consumed by self-idolatry. Friends, life is short. The Bible tells us that it's but vapor. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Don't wait until it's too late to give him all honor and glory. To acknowledge with your actions and your words, because out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. To acknowledge it really loud. Not with our voices, but the things we do. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we pray that you will forgive us for there's so many times that we have not acknowledged you as a God of the universe, creator, Abba Father. We haven't truly acknowledged the fact that everything comes from you. That we're just managers, stewards, here today and gone tomorrow. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would renew us, that you would make us bold as lions, that you would break our hearts for what break yours, that we would truly acknowledge that everything comes from you. Anoint us today with fresh anointing. Help us to recommit our lives to you and our actions as well. We pray that you would have mercy on us. We thank you for adopting us through Jesus Christ. We are truly blessed to be able to call you Abba, Father. And we love you. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.